here in Crawfordsville, Indiana, and it's 2 days after income tax time. This is the a series of tapings being done by the Montgomery County Historical Society in cooperation with the American Legion Post and the Veterans of Foreign War Post. Being the 50th anniversary of Pearl Harbor, the Historical Society is interviewing people, citizens of this county, who had some roles in World War II. We're trying to get as many varieties as we can. These tapes are going to be placed in the over in the local history room at the Crawfordsville Public Library so that future generations can see them. This series was really sort of inspired by the recent public television programs about the Civil War, when those fellows were celebrating their 50th anniversary. They showed, for example, pictures of the 50th anniversary of the Battle of Gettysburg, and all those geezers, all those guys had long beards. Now, we had very few of them on this program with long beards. This tape will be the property, as I said, of the Historical Society. With us today is I'm Bob Wernley of the Historical Society, and with us is Claire Chamberlain, representing the Legion, and also Ed Miller, who has done a lot of the camera work for us today, doing it today and has done it in the past. Now, we're interviewing today a fellow who was in the Marines, and I'll ask you first of all, give us your name and your date of birth.
Philip Ward, 10 March 1926.
And where were you born?
In Mace, Indiana.
Did you grow up around here in Montgomery County?
Grew up in Mace, went near Los High School.
And what did your father do? Was he a farmer?
No, he was a merchant dominus.
Worked at Dominus. You went to New Ross High School? Did you play, were you in athletics there?
I played basketball there until I had to give it up and quit school. Attend school.
Do you have any recollection of where you are, what you were doing on the day of Pearl Harbor?
Yes, I do.
What were you doing and where were you?
I believe I was in the Mace Restaurant on that Sunday morning, and of course, Monday the following day, you had to go to school. And the principal called us all in assembly, and we listened to the radio. Roosevelt did the war.
Mm-hmm. And
I think I was a freshman then, I'm not sure.
A freshman?
I believe it was, yes.
So that, and did you go on and finish high school?
No, I did not finish high school yet. Family support and quit and help.
You had to quit? And do you remember, Mace, when the old trolley car used to go through there?
Lindbergh,
yeah. And the big four went down there right alongside it?
Yes. Foundation. Trolley station still there today.
Uh-huh. And you went on and how did you happen to get into the service?
Well, I left 2 days before my 18th birthday because I wanted to be drafted and have to go in the Army.
Were you still in high school at that
time? No, I've been out for a couple of years.
What did you do in between getting out of high school and...
I worked downtown here.
Where did you work?
Farmer's Creamery, was that the name of it?
Farmer's Creamery down there where Lincoln Federal is now?
No.
Where? Oh, it was up on Washington Street.
Yeah.
Yeah. What did you do? Just work in?
I went out and picked up cream and milk.
Well, you had a truck?
Yeah, their
truck route.
Mm-hmm.
you remember, who was the manager of that creamery at that time? Was it? Pegler was there at the time. Floyd Pegler, wasn't it?
Floyd
Pegler, that's right. And, okay, you enlisted in the Marines 2 days before your 18th birthday?
Right.
How did you happen to do that?
What do you mean, how that?
Well,
everybody else
was a draft for free night.
Well, the next day, 2 days later, I had to sign up for the draft.
Uh-huh.
I didn't want to go in the Army.
Where did they send you?
Went to San Diego, California, 5 weeks boot training.
Did any of your buddies sign up at the same time?
No, not in this area, no.
Did you go into Indianapolis to do it? How did you get out to San Diego?
On a freight train.
On a freight train?
Same by the freight train. Went to Chicago and went up to San Diego.
Did you go into boot training there at San Diego? What year was that? What date was that?
21st April, 1944.
21st of April in 44.
I began my boot training.
The war was kind of winding down at that time, wasn't it? And when did you get out of boot training?
5 weeks later.
They only gave you 5 weeks of boot?
That's all you needed.
Did you make any good friends while you were in boot camp?
Oh, yes.
You're still here from some of those buddies?
No, not from boot camp, really. The year I went to later, a big older guy, and they've been there all the way through boot camp. So, I talked to one guy here a couple of years ago, lived in Ohio, to boot camp with. I hadn't seen him, I talked to him.
Uh-huh. Now, after boot camp, what happened?
Well, they gave me 10 days leave, and I spent 3 days coming home, 3 days getting back.
You went by train then?
Right.
3 days going home, 3 days coming back, and that meant 4 days for at home. You came back here to Mace.
Mm-hmm.
So you, when you got back to San Diego, what happened?
Well, I went back to Camp Pendleton, was outside of San Diego, joined the unit.
Camp what?
Pendleton. Camp Pendleton, yeah.
Pendleton,
California.
That's a Marine base.
Largest base in the world.
Uh-huh. And where did you go then?
Well, we stayed there, I joined the 5th Division. Easy Company.
5th Division of the Marines?
Yeah.
Okay.
Easy Company. We stayed there in September, then we moved to moved to Hawaii. September, advanced training over there. We left there January the 5th. We had practice landings. We made a practice landing on Maui on the way.
When practice landings, what kind of equipment did you use for practice landings?
Amtraks, big Higgin boats.
Higgin boats?
Mm-hmm. Amtrak is a track will go on water or land.
Uh-huh.
APC they call them now.
APCs.
All purpose. Carrier or something.
All right. And did you get on board a trip ship and ship out, or how did they?
No, like I said, we made a practice land in Maui, went to Pearl Harbor, stayed there, I think 10 days on Waikiki Beach. The whole division was there. There was a Royal Hawaiian Hotel there then, that was it.
That was that big white one,
still there, I think.
Yeah, still there.
Okay, there's 20,000 men, we stayed there 10 days.
You mean they put you up in the Royal Hawaiian?
No, we stayed in pup tents.
Oh, in pup tents?
Sure.
I was wondering how they're going to get a whole division into the
Hawaiian. No,
no. Of course, the Royal Hawaiian was taken over by the services, wasn't it?
That pup tent was our Hawaiian Hotel.
Oh. I get it.
So we stayed there, I don't know, 4 or 5 days. Jackie Cooper there, he was there in the Navy with us. Bob Crosby.
You mean the movie actor?
And Bob Crosby, he was in our division. Big brother, you know.
Uh-huh.
He was our division morale officer. And he put on a show there, Jackie Cooper. And we moved out.
Uh-huh.
Of course, PA ship, I guess the first stop was Quadrillion.
Now, you got aboard a ship and went to Quadrillion. What kind of ship was it?
PA ship.
What do you mean by that?
Personnel carrier, I guess is what it's called.
Oh.
Troop ship.
And how were your quarters on the ship?
Bad.
You were sleeping in hammocks?
Yeah.
And how were the rations?
Well, you stand in line 24 hours a day, you get food.
That's exactly it. Eat two meals a day?
Yeah, you can get it.
Yeah.
And you lie down on the table.
How many fellows were on board this ship, do you remember?
Oh, I'd say at least 5,000. Well, I have no idea how many carried.
Do you remember the name of the ship?
I got it right there in that book.
Well, we don't need to look it up, but it wasn't a big ocean liner, right?
Oh, no, no.
Okay.
Then we went there to Saipan on the same ship.
You went to Kwajalein?
We stopped over there a couple, 3 days.
Okay. But you got off the ship, didn't you?
No, no.
Just stayed on the ship and slept in your hammocks.
The idea was for more ships to meet us there, I think it was, not us, nothing to be lost.
And you went from Quadrillion to where?
Saipan.
Saipan. Did you stop off at Saipan?
Yes, we did. We transferred ships there.
Uh-huh.
At that particular time, Saipan had a submarine net all the way around it. Only one gate you could get through. We transferred from this PA ship down the landing net on the side of the ship on the Hayward boat, the Amtrak. Went down the island, through that gate, and went back up the other side to the LST.
And did you go ashore then at Saipan? You still stayed on board the ship?
Yes, that's right.
Let me stop here and ask you, who was the commanding general of your Marine today?
General Rocket. Rocket.
How do you spell that?
R-O-C-K-E-Y, I believe it was.
Rocket.
Mm-hmm.
Did you ever see the guy?
No. I seen him fly over airplane once.
Do you remember any of your officers?
Oh, yeah, all of them.
And what did you think of your officers?
Well, I got one now we see every 2 years in Texas. He Wells. And let's see. And he got the Navy Cross.
What was his full name, do you remember?
John Keith Wells.
Wells. And what was
our platoon leader.
Are your platoon leader, what, it was the second Louis?
He was the first second Louis at that time.
Yeah. Uh-huh. And you see him still?
Every 2 years.
Hey, remember any of your other officers?
Well, the CO commanding Captain Severance.
How do you spell that?
I see. S-E-V-E-R-A-N-C-E.
Severance.
He lives in California now.
And does he still go to reunions?
Yes.
Any other officers you remember?
Well, I remember Battalion Commander and Colonel Johnson.
Is he still living?
No, he got killed on Eagle.
Uh-huh. Okay, let's go on here and what happened after you were at Saipan?
Well, like I said, we went on transfer from a PA ship to LST. That's a landing ship tank. Big doors open up in front, the ramp from under. Tanks go up there, the Amtrak. And LSI on top of
it. What's an LSI?
Landing ship infantry.
Oh, okay.
We had about a block from the bottom of the LSI to the LST was about this blocked up on the deck, see. And there's a whole company of us, which would be was all attached in probably 300 people. We stayed in between the hole back in there on steel deck for 9 days till we had Eagle.
Stay in the...
Well, that's where we slept.
Uh-huh. Yeah, slept underneath between the two decks.
That's right, a big old hard steel deck about, oh, it must have been a year old maybe, man. How far did the last take?
How long did you
mean? How wide? 50 foot?
Oh, about 50 feet.
Did you have no padding on the steel deck?
No.
Just flat on it? What was the climate like? Was it cold?
No, not over there, Saipan and North. This was in February, when the water was calm.
Oh.
They didn't take his LS eye on top of me, slide it off the side, when they use this to transport from place to place, on LST. And the Amtrak were down in the belly of it.
In the belly of the...
LST.
Yeah.
See, the big door opened up around, they're driving down in there. So we went from the BA ship over to LST, and they put the tanks right in the ship with it. And that's how we went in on Evo.
All right, you went from Saipan into Evo.
9 days it took.
And could you tell us about what date it was you got to Evo?
19th February.
19th of February?
45.
And by gosh, the world was, it was getting close to the time the Germans were surrendering, wasn't it?
Sunday morning.
You hit the Evo on a Sunday morning. Oh, okay. Now
Sunday morning here, now Monday over there, I think that's what it is.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, it would have been Monday over there.
Monday difference.
All right. Can you describe your landing for us?
It was hell.
Okay. Then tell us what hell was like.
Well, Evo was a volcano ash for up at 200 foot up the beach. It just big, big, so you keep falling in.
And it was big what?
Ash, like yeah. Volcano ash.
Yeah.
It wore some sand. It
wore some sand.
It rolls a bit. And there were different levees they had in that city.
Yeah.
See, the Japanese owned it. They had that for hundreds and hundreds of years.
They had it really for
it. That was a part of their homeland.
Yeah.
And 72 days, every day, 72 days prior we entered, the Air Force bombed that place.
Uh-huh.
Every day. They come in Saipan, B-29.
Did you see the bombing going on as you were offshore there?
Oh, definitely. We went in at 9 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
A naval fire and all that stuff.
Yeah, they were just bombing the dickens out of them.
Well, every day for 72 days. B-29 come out of Saipan.
Yeah. And, okay, go ahead and describe it. How did you get ashore?
Amphibious boats.
What were they called?
The tank, the amphibious tanks.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. The first 10 waves was Amtrak. The rest was Higgins boats.
Higgins boats.
The Higgins boats is a big boat that the truck flops down and run out the front.
Mm-hmm.
Amtrak, you don't. You go over the side. In fact, I think some of them. So like I said, the first 10 waves is amphibious tanks. And then we went in on the 10th wave, my platoon. And the first 4 or 5 waves, the Japs just didn't even fire them. They allowed to get all shore, see.
Mm-hmm.
And they opened up. So they wanted to get all people that could, see.
Yeah.
Saw the Rio on the beach and opened up for them. So that's about it.
What kind of fire were you getting? Mortar fire or
everything?
Machine gun fire.
Everything.
Uh-huh.
Mortars, machine gun, no big stuff, I don't believe.
Yeah. Where, you said the first, you were on the 10th, were you?
10th wave, went in.
By the time you got there, were a lot of fellows dead there?
A lot of them.
But some of them survived. And I didn't ask you along the line here. Were you still a private?
Oh, definitely.
You were still a PFC, I suppose.
Private.
Not even a PFC?
All the way private.
Okay, and tell us about when your wave went in. What?
Well, we were probably on the beach. I don't know. The time, you don't keep track of time, you know, you're worried about your life. We got work to. Where we hit, there were 800 yards across the island. The island itself was only 5 miles long and 3 miles wide.
Uh-huh.
The widest point. So where we hit, behind Red Beach, to the other island, side of the island was 800 yards. Land.
Yeah.
And we didn't make it the first day. on their website.
Uh-huh.
See, the fourth and fifth division hit, the third division was out of the, what they call a floating reserve. There's still more ships out there waiting.
Uh-huh.
And the idea was, we're supposed to hit Evo, fourth and fifth hit, third division out of the floating reserve, we're supposed to stay there 72 hours and secure the island. And then we pull off and go to hit another island, what they call Chichitima. And well, it wasn't on those left, so we couldn't go. And they had plans, see, this was 19th of February. The 1st of April, hit Okinawa. And the 3rd and 4th was going to be assault troops on Okinawa, and we were going to be in the floating reserve. Just switch around. Didn't work out that way, but there wasn't enough left. We spent, I spent 36 days there, beginning to end.
On Evo. In that wave, you were in the 10th wave. When was your the fellow killed, this lieutenant that you said you admired?
No, he wasn't killed.
Oh, he wasn't killed.
No, he got wounded real bad.
Okay, when was Colonel Johnson killed?
Oh, that was up the way up in the northern part of the island.
Uh-huh.
It was about a far apart.
Yeah. Were any of your buddies killed there on that first wave?
A lot of them.
Oh. Your platoon of, let's see, how many were in a platoon?
45.
45.
There was four in our platoon didn't get the Purple Heart.
Four did not get the Purple Heart. There, all the rest of you did. Now, what did you do after you hit the shore, when you're up to hit the shore?
Well, we entered way up there, and we got orders to drop our packs, and put your bayonet on, and come on up. Everybody was scattered and confused, and you know who was where and all that stuff. We finally got together. That night time came, we hit at 9 o'clock in the morning, about 20 after 9 the time I got there. And we didn't make it across the island that night. And so the next day sometime, I think we got on the other side of the island, and we split and went to our left, which is the base of Sabachi, the mountain. In the airfield that was to the right. The main reason I wanted Evo was that airfield there, see, the B-29 going on the Saipan in Tokyo. It was a little too far to the North Atlantic.
You wanted to get that airfield so that...
Well, they did.
Uh-huh.
I didn't.
Yeah, well, part of the operation.
But I remember the first B-29 come in there on Mercy Landing, and of course, that was way later after the went up north end of the island.
Now, you split, and part of your outfit went to the...
No, I'm saying part of the assault troops, the 4th Division, and some of them went to the right to go up to the north end of the island. We went...
You went to the left?
Yeah, to the base of Sabachi.
Okay. Why did they want to take Sabachi?
Why?
Yeah, what was... You would think that they'd all gone up for the airfield. Sarabachi, did it have any strategic importance?
The whole island did, just like...
Yeah, but...
Well, they had caves, they lived in there for...
At Sarabachi? Around Sarabachi.
See, it was 563 miles, feet high.
Yeah.
Stuck up there, and they had hospitals, caves, and tunnels, everything else in there.
Oh, right in that Sarabachi.
All over the island, really.
Okay, now there were, in other words, there were a tremendous concentration of Japanese troops there around Sarabachi.
Yep.
And, okay, carry us forward then. What did you do after that?
Well, we probably got some tanks up there, and it took us 3 days to get probably 1,000 yards. We got to the base of the mountain. We found bunkers there. The wall there in 3 foot thick. You know how hard that'd be to knock out. And that's where Donald Rule, he got killed there.
Donald Rule, now who was...
Well, he was on platoon there. He's the one who got the Congressional Medal of Honor.
He got the Congressional Medal of Honor. Did you know him? What was his rank?
PRC.
He was a PFC, and, but he was killed. Now, what was the particular feat that he was, got the medal for?
Well, he's going up on a bunker there, I think in the afternoon, I'm not sure of the time. He wasn't afraid of nothing. He'd take a grenade and walk right up to the bunker and throw it in there and forget it. So, when he had to start throwing a grenade back at him, he jumped on one and saved about four or five guys around him. This is probably the second, maybe third day, I'm not sure. But that's why he got it.
Was he in your squad or?
No, he was a different squad now, I believe. I got the list there of my squad, but I knew him quite well.
All right, let's get some more of the action here. What?
Okay, we finally got to the base of the mountain, which had a kind of levee to downslope to the beach, around the beach is nothing but rocks. We went out this way and some other out on this way, and we went up. Our company went around to the left there, and stayed there all night, I remember that very well, and one of the guys got hit. Their rubber boat come in, one of the ships out there and picked him up.
You were that close to the water?
Oh yeah, we ran on the water. Well, water right there, we just here, and that's, we stayed there all night. Next morning we got together, and Lieutenant Schwer called us, said we're going up top of the mountain there, and we're going forward. But there were a lot of Japs up there, dug in. Now, we didn't have no problem walking up there.
No problem walking up there?
Oh, I'm tired. I mean, we didn't get no fire from walking up.
Uh-huh.
But there's a bunch of caves and everything up there.
With the Japanese throwing grenades out and that sort of thing?
Once we got up there, yes.
Once you got up to the top?
Yeah. Nothing, no problem going up.
No problem going up?
No.
This is at the top of Mount Suribachi.
Yeah, we stayed there for 5 days.
Well, how big is this top of this mountain? How would you describe it?
Well, there was a kind of ridge around, and there's a slope down there that looked like nothing but lava ash. I would say, oh, a couple hundred foot around. It wasn't too big. Probably set this house on it.
Huh.
It wasn't very big.
And now, the picture that we've all, everybody knows is planting that flag up there. Were you part of that operation?
Well, we carried a little flag up with us. It was smaller, about 3 to 5, I guess. Benigno, New Jersey, I think he's the one carried up, or Keller.
Who was it?
It was Benigno or Keller that carried it up there. We walked up and we put the flag up as well. The old steel pipe we found laying there, probably 15, 20 foot long. So down on the shore, I guess somebody didn't like it, didn't make it big enough, so they set up another one. They zipped clear the other end of the island.
Yeah, now.
It was probably 4 or 5 hours after.
4 or 5 hours afterwards, but you were there when they put the original one up, the first flag.
Yes.
How big was that flag that you put up there originally?
I don't know, I seen it where in Washington, D.C. Oh, really? About 3 to 5.
3 to 5. And then, and that was about what time and what day?
The 4th morning, the 23rd. Probably 10, 11 o'clock in the morning. I don't know, time didn't mean nothing to us.
Uh-huh. And how many of you were there in the group that went up there?
42.
42. Have you got some pictures of the group that went up there?
Well, I got a picture here. This is the part of the group that was going up.
That was part of your group. Was that picture taken?
We had a Marine photographer, one of them, by the name of Lowry. He passed away a couple of
years. What's his name?
Lowry.
L-O-W-E-R-Y.
And he's the one that took these pictures. Now, he was a Marine Corps himself. And, of course, he got hit or something anyway. He and the camera rolled down the mountain there a little ways. The film kind of got damaged, most of it. So this, I guess they saw some of his film there, and that one of them. I got some more.
Are you able to get that, Ed? Okay. Could you point yourself out on this picture?
Right here, I believe it is.
Right there.
There's Robeson. Now, he's 17 years old. He's still living. This is Sergeant Hanson. Right here.
Sergeant Hanson?
He's from Massachusetts.
Is he still living?
No, he got killed on the York.
Okay, and who else?
Now, this is Benito, I believe. I'm not sure. But their names are on the back of this. This is an official Marine Corps photo.
Mm-hmm.
But that does go up the mountain there. Now, this is looking, so you can see the ocean right here.
Uh-huh. Okay. All right. Now, have you got another picture there of this one? Yeah, let's
well, see. This is the second flag, the larger flag.
This is the larger flag.
Joe Rosenthal, he's a civilian. He worked for AP, the Associated Press, from San Francisco, and he came up here later. So he had us all getting together on this. This is a posed picture, really. The regular flag is not posed. The flag that you see all the time. But this is.
That one's posed. Are you in this picture?
Yes, I am.
Well, point yourself out there for the...
Yeah.
Right there, really, about the top one of the whole business, aren't you? Right there next to the flagpole.
And here's Chief Hayes. There's Lieutenant Schroer, the one that took us up there. This guy got killed, Shrank. Jeff still living. Snyder, Sergeant Snyder, he got killed. There's Hanson right there. And I think that's about all of them that got killed that took later on in this picture now. Most of them.
A lot of them were dead before this picture was taken, I suppose, your outfit.
Oh, yes.
How did you find the, are there any more pictures of the group of you that went up there?
No, that's the only one I got. You mean like this?
That one? What about this other
one? Well, this one was taken on Hawaii before we left.
Oh, I see. All right. Why don't you point out these fellows here?
Well, this is our Chief Hayes, who was in the flag regiment. This is myself, and these two guys, we got three, I guess. Now, this guy here lives in Belvedere, Illinois. The name is Smith, Gary Smith. And these two people out here, far as we know, figure out that they got killed. So we have these pictures.
Is this you right here?
Me right there.
All right. Chief Hayes, you call him?
Chief, yeah.
Why do you call him Chief?
He's an Indian, full-blooded Indian.
He was a full-blooded Indian.
Pima Indian.
A what?
Pima?
Pima.
Pima tribe.
Uh-huh. And what part did he play in this?
Well, he's the one in the flag raising.
He's the one in the flag raising.
Oh, here it is. Here it is.
Which one is he?
Can't recall. I don't know which one they claimed him. Now, see, this picture is not posed, and that's why all the controversy about it, the argument, who's who, and all that stuff. And there's a story in a particular magazine that tells you about the first flag raising and the second flag raising, and why it was done, and all that stuff.
But this was posed, you say?
No, definitely not.
That was not posed.
Oh, no way. They were posed and they got their names.
Uh-huh. Yeah. So that was the original picture. Okay. Now, you got the flag up there. What happened after that?
Well, we stayed there for 5 days.
Up there on top of them?
There's about 40 of us up there, I guess. We eat sea rations. Of course, we eat sea rations. The whole time was there, but and every night about dusk, seemed like a big rocket going right over us. We had a couple of air raids, Japanese planes come in, but they didn't do no damage. And anyway, this rocket came over about dusk every evening. Couldn't figure it out. So later on, we got down and went up to the north end of the island, and we got word that there was a rocket up there. The Japanese took out the cave on a big railroad track. Rolled out of the cave and fired it and rolled it back in and kind of closed the door, I guess you'd call it,
yeah.
On the side of They claim that's what it was, and they didn't see the thing. And that thing is, he seemed like a, I don't know, he was gonna hit you, really. If it hit it, it blew his clear off that mountain.
Yeah, but it never did hit you.
Never did hit us, thank goodness.
Well, now, were the jets coming out of the caves and so on while you were there?
No, just the first few hours. Sergeant Schneider, he killed a guy, a jet with a, come at him with his .45. Old Robeson had a little trouble with one. Lindbergh had a little trouble with another one. There wasn't too many, probably four or five.
So the
initials tried to get out of the cave.
So that once you got that, you took that mountaintop there, why, you didn't meet much resistance?
No, no, not after that.
Yeah. But as you were going up the mountain, you said you didn't?
No.
Well, when did you?
When I first got up there, they started to find out what's going on. Yes.
What sort of, were you getting mortar fire or machine gun fire?
No, just hand. Small arms fire.
Small arms fire.
They'd jump out of them caves and stuff.
And shoot. How did you eventually sweat those guys out of the cave?
We blew the holes up.
You just blew the holes up? What did you do? Take the grenades and go down?
Oh, yeah, C2.
A
demolition.
Oh.
Demolition charge.
Uh-huh.
Closed the mouth of the cave up.
You closed the cave up?
Mm-hmm.
So they couldn't get out?
Well, not apparently they couldn't. They had to play somewhere else probably.
Yeah, it was a honeycomb.
Oh,
so
yeah.
They could have gotten out other places.
Yeah.
All right, you were up there for how long, you said?
5 days.
Okay, and where'd you move then?
We came back down, went up towards the north end. We got there probably the second airfield. Front line, if that's what you want to call it. Up to the second airfield. That time there was probably half a company gone. We kept getting replacements in every day, but they get killed.
Do you have any statistics on how many fellows in your outfit got killed?
Well, I got a list right over there, I'll tell you.
And
every man got killed or wounded.
But how many of them?
There was a company of 245 people in it, and we left or landed, and there's 32 of us didn't get the Purple Heart. And
32 did not get the. You didn't get the Purple Heart. And 32 of you did not get the Purple Heart.
In the company, yes.
Out of how many?
245.
Quite a record. How many killed, you know?
Well, I counted once, but I forgot the figure right now. It's probably 30 or 40. There wasn't nobody left. We had PFCs and platoon leaders. Anybody, corporal, one day, he'd be commander, next day, PFC take over.
So they were getting the officers and the sergeants. What about the non-commissioned officers? How did you find those fellows? Were they pretty capable?
Oh, definitely. The 5th Division was made up of Raiders, Marine Raiders, been on Guadalcanal, New Zealand, different places, paratroopers. Marine Corps broke up the paratroopers. I think sometime in the latter part of 43, so they made up the 5th Division out of these guys.
They were all pretty good, pretty good.
A lot of them had 5 or 6 campaigns behind them.
Uh-huh.
Macon Isle, Guadalcanal, Saipan, Finian, Guam.
Now where did you move on from there? Where did you go?
Well, let me just back up here a little bit. One day I remember we moved to Bobby. 100 yards.
100 yards?
And at that particular time, I remember that day we had a little 37 millimeter artillery pieces you can move around my hand. We had those things. Well, that's about all we had, a small arm. And we just moved up and there's a jet jumped over the back of a cave, back of a man, grabbed him in the cave. They can talk to you from Milwaukee. And we found his body.
Uh-huh. And you moved 100 yards, is that all you moved?
We moved 100 yards, and we had to pull back toward dark. The place, the train, we could protect ourselves. For the night, see, so we had to move back and then start out again next day.
Well, where, what happened then?
Well, we entered way up to the north end, and that was pretty rocky up there. A lot of rocks. And finally, me and Chief Hayden, we stayed in the same hole for probably 10 days.
The same foxhole?
Greedy dies, he's out there in Wyoming now.
When you're staying in a foxhole, did you ever, did you get out of a foxhole at night?
No, definitely not. He didn't go nowhere at night.
Well,
you move around at night, you get shot.
Yeah, well, what about your rations and your getting water? Did you get stay out of that foxhole lot? Did you keep?
Well, you move around in daytime. You don't definitely get out there at night. All we get rations during the day. I brush my teeth one time, I think, in 36 days.
And what about keeping washed up? Did you
don't worry about that.
You don't worry about
in that time.
Did you?
I wore the same fatigues and dungarees for 36 days. So we dropped her pack back to the beach and then had change of clothing. You don't worry about dirt when you worry about your life.
Yeah. Well, you were in that foxhole. What were you doing during the daytime? Did you get up and what about getting resupplied on ammunition? A rifleman, did you have an M1 or what kind of a gun did you?
I had an M1. This foxhole we stayed in for 10 days, me and Keith, Reggie Dice, we had 26 M1s, about 20 carbines, and about 15 BARs, and 4 or 5 bucks in hand grenades. We was all set.
And you had plenty of ammunition in there. That must have been a pretty big foxhole with three of you in there, all that ammunition.
Well, you accumulated it here and there, and you got to get killed, and you take your ammo.
Was it pretty hard to dig a foxhole there?
Well, I'll tell you, that one picker out, or part of the island there, you can dig down this far, and lay down there an hour, you'd be asleep.
Sulfur.
Sulfur. You see the fumes coming up. And you might have heard of sulfur bad at the same time. Puts you to sleep. Another part, another part of them you couldn't dig, we were all molten rocks.
Well, when you got up to the northern part of the island, then you didn't have any foxholes.
Not very much.
Well, well, how'd you protect yourself?
Well, just pile a few rocks around you, a few pipes, and best way you could.
Yeah. Okay, when you got to the northern part of the island, what kind of did you do any, did you see any Japs up there?
Well, I seen two or three of them. No, I seen three. When you bring that 20 down there, I seen another two. And back up there a little bit, on the way up there, Jap came out of a cave and about 15 guys turned around there and opened up on him and nobody hit him. He came up with his hands up. And he had he would have told that little rag around the head of their waist. They sent him back with a prisoner. He gave all kinds of information. He was a big help to the wheel back there, you know, figuring all that out. But really, I didn't see over 6 or 8 all the time I was there. I mean, face to face. We didn't give a chance. We see her body, we shoot.
Yeah. Did you ever use a bayonet?
No.
Anybody?
Another person? No.
Did anybody use a bayonet?
Oh, definitely.
There were some bayonet fighting.
Oh, we did.
In other words, they let them face to face and they had to use their bayonets.
But I never got a position myself for some reason, I don't know.
Yeah. Okay, we're up at the northern part of the island. What did you do then?
Well, we just sit around there for 10 days shooting at each other and playing games.
Shooting at each other
and blowing up AKs and stuff. And by that time, I think the Army was coming in back here to meet somewhere about 3 or 4 miles back here. So they said the island was secure, so they moved us off. We got aboard ship that night, one night, the 26th of March. Give us spam sandwiches.
That was the best food you'd had for a long time.
It's dark when we got them, and we went offshore there. To the other side of the island, probably, well, the PA ship couldn't get in very far. They took us out there on 80 boats. Come on that ship, 26th of March. I don't know, there went over 30 guys that was in our company left that night. Count,
30 fellows in your company?
That's count replacements that came in, yes. I would say 30, 35.
How many?
245.
All right. Now, we've spoken about people dying. There were probably a lot of other injuries.
Oh, definitely.
And how was the medical treatment? How did you find the medics?
Each Marine platoon got 2 medics attached to it. Everywhere they go, 2 medics go.
Uh-huh.
And our platoon leader, Kidwell, he got hit twice. He got hit once and went on board ship and he patched him up. A couple days later, he ran away from the ship. He told him to come back. He got hit again. There's a guy in Espinet, now he got hit 3 times.
Now they got hit by a small arms fire among
all kinds. Our own fire too.
Okay.
I got a good friend in Texas in Stanton. He got lost a leg by our own fire. Colonel Johnson got killed by our own mortar rounds.
By your own mortar?
That's right. Same day they both got killed by our own fire. See, the islands were smaller, they couldn't use them big guns very well. Because
yeah.
Short distance went to
come.
And the Navy fire, well, it's pretty big help. They couldn't get an iron zero right in, you know, like we wanted.
Yeah.
But our medics were with us, both our medics still living today. Bradley is in the picture there. He's in Wisconsin, Langley. He lived down in El Paso, Texas.
Well, they're still alive. Were they just PFCs?
They were both kind of hit.
They were privates or just?
No, Bradley, he was a Navy. Well, they're both Navy's.
Yeah.
All the medics and Marine Corps had them on the Navy. They was, sorry, I don't know, the Navy rank I don't understand.
Yeah, okay.
No, they were corporals or sergeants.
I was
made something.
What about the medical stations? Were they right on the island or did they take them off onto the ships?
Both. They had the tent set up there on the island for more or less the first day. And, you know, what they call pre-op or whatever, if it was real bad, they sent them out for the ship.
I've asked you about the rations. What about water? Did you have trouble getting water?
There was no water at all. We took it in barrels, 55 barrels.
And all you had was your canteen. Is that it? You can fill the canteen and that'd be it.
No water.
Were there times when you were pretty thirsty?
No, I don't remember that, no.
You were able to get, they were able to get water to you.
Oh yeah, if you can stand the taste of it. It's wet.
It was wet. Okay.
I had been in a steel drum for, 30 days. And it tasted good. Of course, couldn't drink salt water. And we didn't dare drink the water. The Japs had there. We did find some canned sardines that they had. We knew it would be pretty good if it was in a can. And I said, yeah, they won't let it.
But the Japs had their own water supplies up there then.
Oh, yeah.
But you didn't dare.
No. Or tell what it was.
Yeah. Okay. Now, when did you get off the island? What
26th of March.
And where did you go then?
Well, the setup was supposed to go back to Guam, but there wasn't that much left, so we come back to Hawaii. We got back here, we landed in Hilo the day after President Roosevelt died, 12th April.
You landed on Hilo?
Yeah, we was on a big island in Hawaii.
Yeah.
6 months before we landed and come back here.
Yeah, and how long did you stay on Hilo?
Afterward?
Well, when you got back to Hilo.
We stayed there and went back through training, started house-to-house training for the Invasion Japan.
House-to-house training? What was that like? What did you do with it?
Well, it didn't last long. See, the war ended there in August. I dropped the bomb. But the funny part was, 6 months there prior, we was getting a case of beer a month, I think, per man.
A case of beer a month?
Per man.
Yeah, okay.
Fresh. We was gone, 3 months? 4 months? There was 30,000 cases of beer stored up there. It was stored in the chapel. Chaplain didn't like that well.
Where was this, on Hilo? Or where was the...
Cantarara, something, King Ranch, what's that big ranch up there?
King Ranch, go ahead. Up on that ranch, there were how much beer?
20,000 cases. The ranch kept coming in.
And nobody could drink it.
That's right. Until we got there. Well, anyway, the chaplain didn't like that real well, so he gave us 2 weeks off, and we had a big party.
You drank all that beer? How soon?
Oh, 2 weeks.
2 weeks. All right,
Then we stayed there at all. Johnny dropped mom on here, she went back to that. We loaded up over the evening. You know, one day we left there. Packed everything, we landed in Japan the 23rd of September, 45.
You landed and they took you back to Japan.
Mm-hmm. I was the first troops on Taoshu.
What did you do when you got to Japan? Occupation troops?
Yeah.
How long were you there?
I was there 10 months.
How did you live there on the island?
On Japan?
Yeah.
Different old Japanese army camps and navy bases and all we find.
Yeah. And it was a pretty comfortable living there compared to what you'd had.
Oh, definitely, yeah.
What does an occupation soldier do? What? Nothing.
Well, they had us going out in small groups as far as people looking for ammunition and stuff like that, rifles. Go out there and look around and come back. We guarded the ammunition dumps that the Japanese had there and different things. And I remember there was Sasebo there at that one place there for probably a couple months.
What would you say the name of the place?
Sasebo. Sasebo. The island, Taoshu. The Silly Island of Japan.
Okay.
We was eating there, our mess sergeant go out till rations. The army defeated us. We couldn't get no food. Well, everybody started writing home. We were getting spam 3 times a day for 30 days, I reckon. I don't know, a long time. Anyway, one day, the chow line left up there for general. Standing in the chow line. People rode home, and they got word, got to Washington. They come over to find out what happened.
Yeah.
And after that, we got chow. But he had to steal off the army and feed us.
When did you leave Japan then?
I left there 14th of June, I think it was, 46.
Well, no, wait a minute, the war was not over then.
Yes, it was.
Oh, 46.
45.
Okay. Yeah, okay.
I spent 10 months in Japan. Because they were going back, sending guys back for the point system.
Yeah, okay.
I didn't have no points, but I was just a young guy.
Yeah. And how'd you get back to the States?
Boat, 35 days. We came from Sasebo up Alaska, down the coast. We pull in San Diego. We stayed there overnight. The skipper of that ship, he put his wife aboard in his car, and we went up to North Fork, Virginia, down through Panama and North Fork, Virginia.
And landed in Norfolk. Did you see any other famous people along the line besides Jackie Cooper and who the other fellow was?
Well, you talk about famous people. As far as I'm concerned, my buddy's famous.
Okay. The fellows that went up on Iwo Jima. Now you're back in the States at Norfolk, and you were discharged there, were you?
I put us on a train. There's a Great Lakes. First of all, originally pulled in San Diego. All the guys who lived west of the Mississippi got off out there for discharge.
In San Diego.
And we got for the East Coast
right. Went through the canal.
Went up to Great Lakes. Went through Panama. Okay. 31 days the whole trip.
You were discharged. Now, you came back to Maine, did you? What was the date of your discharge? You remember?
20th July.
20th of July, 1946. You came back to Mace, and you were not very old even then. Did you get a job right away after you got out?
Well, I went back down there to Spring Ring.
Worked for the printer. Was Floyd still working there?
Yeah, he was.
And how long did you went to work there? Driving a route?
Yeah, keeping busy.
Okay, and how long did you work there?
I think I worked there that fall and I went to California.
You went out to California? How'd you have to do that?
I don't know, nothing around here.
No work to do, huh?
Not really.
You get a job out in California?
Yeah.
What were you doing?
Well, I worked for Standard Oil Company at the gas station.
Standard Oil? And how long were you there?
I didn't tell you, I didn't like California. Probably a year and a half. And I got fed up in California. So I came back here, been here ever since.
Now, somewhere along the line, did you get married?
Oh, yeah, I got married before I went to California.
Who did you marry?
A girl I didn't talk to.
And what was her name?
Miller.
Miller? Uh-huh. And did you have any children?
Yeah, two.
And are they still around here?
The one's in Jersey, the other in North Carolina.
What are their names?
Andy, Nancy.
Andy and what?
Nancy.
Nancy? Nancy married? What's her name now?
Carrie.
Carrie. P-E-R-R-Y. Have any grandchildren?
Yeah, she has two girls and a son has two girls and a son. In New Jersey.
So, all right. Now, are you still married?
No, their mother passed away. We was married 10 years and she passed away.
And are you married now?
Yeah.
And is that a woman from around here too?
No, she's in Vietnam.
Vietnam. No children by her though. Mm-hmm. All right. Where do you live?
Out on East Main Street.
Out by the Catholic Church, out in that area. Yeah. And as a matter of fact, you've got would they be stepsons or Trong and
the wife's nephew.
Yeah, the wife's nephew. One's in Wabash College, isn't he? And
in Ball State.
The other one's at Ball State. Nice kids. Very nice boys.
See, I know after 12 years, I went to the Army and went to Vietnam.
You went to Vietnam?
Three times.
Well, we know you went. You didn't get to
I
Korea.
I spent five years in Germany.
You didn't get to Korea, did you? Okay, well let's get your career then. We haven't hit that yet. What you went to? Did you stay in the service then?
Oh no, I got out.
And
when I was in California, I tried to get back.
firemen, they offered me a job in the infantry, and I said, no, thank you. I wasn't about the infantry.
Yeah.
So.
Well, what did you do then after you were in California? Came back and, came back here? And did you go in, when did you go back into service?
58. I worked down at McDaniel Freight Line for almost 10 years.
McDaniel Freight Line?
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. Were caught up back there at that time? And Leonard McDaniel? What did you do with their, at the freight line?
Pedal freight and work for the company.
And then you, and then you went back into service in 58?
Went to Germany.
Went to Germany?
Did you do 3.5 years?
What branch of the service?
I was on the Army this time.
Army. Did you, what kind of rank did you have?
Well, I went in as a sergeant because I was in the National Guard here.
Yeah.
6, 7 years, I don't know.
And you went to Germany? Where were you stationed in Germany?
First I was at Franklin.
Uh-huh.
Said I lived in Franklin, worked out of Hearst.
Did your family go with you?
Yeah, first time.
And what was your, what did you do over there?
I was in transportation.
I'm kind of being with the freight line here.
Yeah.
Okay, and what, when you came back to the States, your wife and your kids came back with you?
Yeah, I went to Fort Bragg.
And what, for Fort Bragg, what did you do?
Transportation.
And did you get promoted along the line somewhere? You're still a sergeant?
Well, 9 years.
9 years of sergeant. What sergeant?
Pretty dumb. Anyway, I was there 18 months, went back to Germany for myself.
Didn't take your family with you?
No, we bought a house down there and she didn't want to leave.
Uh-huh. Have you always lived in that house out there on East Main?
No, I bought that when I retired in 76.
Okay, you retired from service in 76. Did you do anything after that or just living on your retirement?
Oh, I had a trucking business there for a while. Got Reagan Albert coming along and had to quit.
Okay. And
went to Vietnam 3 times.
Went to Vietnam 3 times?
Well, I made 4 trips. Oh. And then I stayed over 3 times.
What'd you do in Vietnam?
Transportation.
Again?
Convoys.
Uh-huh. Well, Bob, you mentioned Chief Hayes. Tell us a sad story about him. What happened to him after the war?
Well, when President Truman telegraphed Hawaii for him to return to the United States, you won't believe it, but this is what happened. He filled his seat bag half full of beer and a little bit of clothes and came to Washington.
Is that right?
Truman ordered the United States for the monitor.
Yeah. And he filled his
bag
full of
half full of beer.
Half full of beer.
That 20,000 cases we had part of that.
Oh my. And he came back to the States and he went on the bomb tour, did he?
Him and Bradley and Gay.
Oh.
And he was down at Wabash College.
Who was that? They came here to Wabash?
Yeah. One night. So my mother and sister wrote and told me they was down at Wabash College.
And Hayes was here.
Oh yeah.
And what was the sad end that he came to after?
Well, he was an alcoholic, and finally, after all his trouble, he finally went back to graduation here in outside of Phoenix, Pima County, I think, in Phoenix.
Phoenix.
And he just drank some months and he got drunk and what I understand it. He finally did one day, out in the sun, just too much alcohol.
But he was a pretty courageous guy.
He was a paratrooper.
He was a paratrooper first.
He was on a couple of hours, before he joined this.
Have you got a picture of him there that,
well, the one I've got this one here, well,
Well, that's all right. We don't, I think that you showed us...
I just found the picture, didn't I?
You showed us the picture earlier that, about these reunions you go to, you go every year or...
Every year. First they plan on 5 years, and then they decide that other people getting older all the time, and so they have every 2 years.
And it's a reunion of what outfit?
Our company.
Just your company?
Easy Company.
And how many of you are there left?
Well, we have a list here, probably, a lot of them haven't located yet. There's a little kid, I think, 80 or 90 of them.
And I suppose you got an organization that has to get this thing ready.
Yeah, Keith Well down in Abilene, Texas.
And he organizes it every year.
Well, every other year.
Yeah. You bring your wife and your family down there? And...
1985, which is the 40th anniversary, was in San Diego. And the 45th anniversary is over in Washington, D.C. And we get together in between.
Yeah. I see here you've got, Bill, you've got a nice long poem here that's, that your mother sent to you while you were after Iwo Jima. And I think it's a, you can't read the whole thing, of course, here, but here at the end it says, "So little Iwo fell to us in March of 45, and I bow my head to those who fell and thank God that I'm alive." That expresses your sentiments about it, doesn't it? I really appreciate your coming and giving us this interview. Let me shake your hand. And I would suggest, Phil, this is certainly a good scrapbook here. And I would suggest to you that rather than let it get lost, you ask the local history room of the public library if they couldn't keep this and for future generations, because you really had an important part in World War II, and we're amazed at how many, in doing these interviews, how many of our local citizens were had an active part in some of the important phases of World War II. So thank you again.
Thank you.